you know, Vayikra Melech Mitzrayim la Mialdos, when he calls them, he's not calling them for tea, right? Vayomer lahen madua asisen hadavar azeh, when he says to them, why did you do this? You know, their prospects are not looking very good right now. What do you expect to happen to them, clearly? Done. Right, of course. This is called, you know, being a moreid b'malchus, or in their case, mordos b'malchus, right? That they were clearly, you know, in violation of a direct command of the king. And this is probably the last conversation they'll ever have. So they say something very fascinating to him. They tell him, you know, really, b'terem tavo lihena mialedes v'aladu, that before the mialedes ever gets there, they give birth. Now, on its face, does this seem like a reasonable excuse? Does this seem like something that could possibly be true? If this were really true, that the Jewish women didn't need mialdos, what's a little funny about this? What can we say is very, very odd, in fact, about such an excuse? Yaakov?
Because they weren't supposed to help give birth.
Exactly, because these people until this point, excellent, Yaakov, had been employed in the capacity of mialdos. So how is it that they have any work to begin with, number one? Number two, if it were really true that, you know, they didn't need midwives at all, they didn't need any help in the delivery process, you know, you would think that they should have probably said this to Paro when, if this were actually the case.
Before.
Yeah, very good, Ezra. Very well done. So that before, you know, Paro, when Paro gives them the, this very immoral, murderous command to, you know, annihilate the Jewish boys, so the response should be, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because we really don't do anything. By the time we get there, they always have the kids, and they don't say that. So it seems like a pretty obvious excuse. I mean, legitimate, because, you know, they have to assume that their lives are in danger. And again, the Torah is telling us that they did this, I think, with full knowledge that ki eru hamialdos es ha'alokim, yivatirena hamialdos es ha'alokim. For them, it was about an appreciation of the difference between God and human beings. That, you know, God's rules, ki amishpat l'elokim hu, are inviolable. And even if the Melech Mitzrayim, remember, here he's not called Paro, Samson, but he's called the Melech Mitzrayim, to emphasize, you know, that he is, in fact, a king, and the consequences of violating, you know, his will are very serious, right? We talk about the idea of a Melech being, you know, somebody who has enormous authority in terms of, in the Jewish context, Shetehei Maso Alecha, in the non-Jewish context, that if a non-Jewish king would be addressing you in your Shemoneh Esrei, you would be allowed to interrupt your Shemoneh Esrei because it would be considered a life-saving gesture. So be that as it may, they're willing to die because their fear of God supersedes their fear of any human being. So basically, this is what we've said up until now. The Mialdos have demonstrated remarkable courage, and we're going to leave it as a suspenseful issue for tomorrow, you know, what exactly the result is for them on a personal level. Which I think does bear some mentioning before we now take it back to the beginning. There is a Medrash which Rashi quotes, which I think is very telling. Remember, the Mialdos say, Ki chayos heina, the simple pshat of ki chayos heina is that they're very healthy and they're quick to give birth, and therefore they don't really need any of our assistance. However, Rashi does quote a midrash on this pasuk, where Rashi takes it from the language of chayos hasadeh, that they are like the animals of the field. Right? It's just like animals don't have any, you know, obstetricians or, you know, obstetrics nurses or midwives or doulas or anything like that.
Is that why they didn't feel bad just like killing the innocent babies?
Oh, so that very good, Samson, plus two. Very, very, very well done. So, really nicely done. So it could be that here the Mialdos were doing something very clever is not the right word, but very subtle. What they were actually doing is they were playing on Paro's prejudices. Remember, the pasuk said Vayakutsu mipnei bnei Yisrael. That the Egyptians, you know, of course, led by Paro, developed a sense of revulsion at the Jewish people. A sense that the Jewish people were really not, vayakutsu, again, connotes a sense of disgust. Almost like the language of subhuman that we find in genocide. Right? In the Tanakh, it's very difficult for people to kill babies. But if you don't really see them as babies, if you see them as animalistic, if you see them as subhuman, as the Germans said, Untermenschen, then all of a sudden it's a different proposition altogether. Right? All of a sudden it's reflective of, you know, you call the exterminator if there are too many bugs, kind of a thing. So by comparing the Jewish women to Chayos HaSadeh, Avishai, they may be playing on Paro's prejudices against the Jewish women and against Jews in general. So that might be an aspect of this medrash that Rashi is saying. Again, it's not the simple pshat. The simple pshat is, as the pasuk says, Ki Chayos Hena B'Terem Tavo Alehen HaMialedes Avialadu. Okay, very good. So we have a difference, as always, between the pshat and the medrash, but the medrash is, I think, getting at a deeper point about some of Paro's biases against the Jewish people and against the Jewish women. Another point that I want to focus on. So, Vatzichayeno as hayiladim obviously seems like a redundant clause, right? And it's actually used twice. First in describing what they did, and then in the conversation between Paro and the Mialdus. Vatzichayeno as hayiladim. Well, obviously, if they didn't listen to Paro, that means that they allowed the children to live. So why is the Torah going out of its way to reassert this, to repeat this, to emphasize this? Vatichayena es hayiladim, that they brought life to the children. Go ahead, Ezra.
It's a big deal. They're disobeying Paro.
Okay, good. So maybe it's repeated for that, you know, point of emphasis that it was a truly remarkable demonstration of courage. Right? Okay, that I think is a very worthy suggestion. Okay? Anybody else? So again, on the basis of the Midrash, Sarashi says, and I'm going to develop the point even further, that they provided water and food, misakos Lahem Mayim Umazon. And that is very important in its own right, but it's not even as nearly as impressive as the full Midrash that we'll talk about in a second. But the Midrash says that these, presumably Egyptian women, prayed, you know, to God, the master of the universe, not the Jewish God, but they prayed to God that all of the mothers would be healthy. Remember how dangerous childbirth was. This week's parsha will read about the death of Rachel in childbirth. That all the mothers would be healthy, and that all the babies would as well. And the language is so fascinating, because the language of the prayer is not just that we care about these babies and their mothers, but that the Mialdos said, we don't want the Jewish women to have any reason to even believe that for a moment we considered going along with Paro. That if a child was born with a deformity or a disability, you know, they might say, oh, you know, I know you tried to kill them, you're only able to disable the child. So they prayed to Hashem that everybody would be fully healthy, that mother would be fully healthy, that all the babies would be fully healthy, and that, again, most critically, that nobody would think that they were prepared, even for a moment, to go along with Paro, which, first of all, demonstrates how committed they were to doing the right thing, that they didn't, as well, they didn't hesitate for a second, and that they knew exactly what it was they were going to do. And what it was that they were going to do was going to be to save these children. That I think, is certainly impressive enough in its own right. I think if we take it to the next level, you know, this idea that they prayed to God, that they understood that they were involved in something that was very difficult, and that they would need divine assistance. So I think we can see yet another dimension of the spiritual greatness of these Mialdos, that they relate what they're doing very much back to God, and that they do not just the courageous act of refusing to listen to Paro and not killing these children, but truly defying Paro. And if Paro's wish was for these children to die, then they not only were not going to kill the children, but what were they going to do? Exactly. Vatechayena es hayeladim. They were going to do everything in their human power to bring life to these children. And remember, these children were not going to be safe, because there were going to be people eventually hunting down these children, kind of like hidden children. So what, again, according to the Medrash, does it say that they did? What was so important about their role? Netanel, it wasn't just that they didn't, you know, kill the children in childbirth, but what did they do that was so important to the survival of these children, who otherwise would really not have been able to make it, even if they survived childbirth? These children are going to be what you probably would call today hidden children, right? Nobody's going to be able to take them out. They're going to be in need of sustenance. And so the Mialdos, not only did they not go along with Paro, but they went the extra mile to defy him. And that, I think, is remarkable. They recognized that their responsibilities had changed as well. Previously, it was enough for them to go and help the Jewish women give birth. But now, that's not going to be enough. Why? Because these Jewish children are supposed to be killed. Somebody's going to come after them. In fact, we're going to see tomorrow that Paro ends up giving a command to the entire nation that all the Jewish children should indeed be killed. So they go well beyond what they had done previously. So this is, I think, an extraordinary episode in the Chumash. You know, people are challenged and you find out who they are. People are forced into a position where there's no simple solution. Their lives are on the line. And David, not only are they willing to lay down their lives so as not to be murderers, but that's not enough for them. They dig that much deeper, and what are they willing to do? Not merely defy Paro in the narrow, minimalist sense of the term of not killing these children, but do whatever is necessary to pray on their behalf, to pray for their mothers, to provide them, to take up a collection, misaklos lamayim, mazon. So they're now doing more than they've ever done in the past. More is required of them. And that's, I think, that the thing that people don't appreciate necessarily about the Mialdos. People know that the Mialdos had fear of God, which is remarkable enough, and that they didn't listen to Paro, and they were prepared to sacrifice their lives. All of that is greatly impressive. All of that is deeply meaningful. But that's not the full story. Just one second. The full story is that they knew that for these children to survive, they would have to go well beyond anything that they had ever done in the past. Take greater risks. Assume greater responsibility. Misapkos lahem mayim umazon. Their prayers to Almighty God on behalf of these children. This, I think, is in some sense even more impressive. Think about it. Every single time they must have come to these people's homes with mayim umazon and to collect food for them, they were risking themselves and their exposure that much more. Right? We all know the stories of the hidden children in the war, that to give the children food, it was very risky. You couldn't be seen by any of the neighbors. It's all very complicated. Each time was a risk. Ezra, just to set up, you know, where we're going to go from here, you know, God willing, tomorrow. So The natural thing, of course, would have been for Paro at this point to do what? To kill them. But we're going to be in for a surprise as we move forward tomorrow. And we're going to be in for a surprise because Paro, right, who you would, you know, you would think the man is prepared to kill, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of babies, this is not a person of great compassion. I think we could all agree about that, right? And yet, his reaction is going to be very fascinating. His reaction is, of course, subject to some machlokas as to what exactly he did, but we know what he did not do. And what he didn't do is really striking. And it's really surprising, given what this man's limits are. And again, maybe it has to do with what we mentioned earlier, because in the way that the Mialdos were able to discern his psychology, that again, Samson, how did he see the Jewish people?
As animals.
So, Ki Chayos Hena was a very, very, very subtle and highly intelligent way of explaining themselves, even though it was patently false. And he should have realized it was patently false, but to play on this prejudice that, oh, they're like animals. They don't need our help. Again, if it were really true, they would have said it before. If they're really true, Paro presumably would have known that already. But be that as it may, it obviously gets to a deep core prejudice that may end up helping their case. So that's something that we have to take a look at. So